Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming to the People's Rights Meeting. Today we're going to move along a little quickly. We've got four speakers today. And I'd like to introduce John Wachowiak. I'm sorry, I'm going to do that again. I'd like to introduce John Wachowiak to the microphone. Go ahead, John.
Hello. A lot of you know me here. Most of you do. I have a question for you. Have you seen the news today? Anybody? Have you seen where Trump said that Biden has taken us to war? He did. And it's on townhall.com. You can see that. And that's a huge statement from Trump to make. And a show of hands with that in mind, how many of you would want to know what to do about that? Okay, great. Okay, we must first make a personal, conscious decision to do whatever it takes. If we can't do that, there's no reason to go further. Are we united? This is a rally cry. In an organized effort, you have to gather together all the Americans and go to your local public servants, or you can even send them fax. There was a time when we used to call Washington, D.C. And jam their phone lines and fax lines, and that's one of the this is one of the times we can do that again. You want to ask your representative, and everybody can do this around the nation. This is how powerful this is. Quote, are you going to take us to war, or are you going to take us to peace? And we want it in writing, and we want it certified. That is very powerful. And that'll send a message to Washington. And then the other servants should do something about what he is trying to do. Take us to war. He didn't become president to take us to war. He became president to follow the Constitution, to keep his oath. And going to war is not that. Also, it's a violation of George Washington's farewell address to the American people. Stay home, stop meddling in every country's business around the world, and concentrate on commerce. We're doing the direct opposite. So this is also part of holding them accountable. We don't want to go to war, and so we got to do something, and the time is now, because and you also have seen that the stock market is going down and down. Well, I'm going to let you know right now, if you don't know, that at a certain point, the stock market going down cumulatively, there's going to be a point of no return. So you got to look for that. And then the game is really going to be on, and we're going to be in trouble, because no food, guns, rights, and everything they have planned for us is going to start taking place, and we got to stop that. And this can do a lot of good throughout the entire country. Any questions?
Now, are you talking about taking this program to our representatives locally here?
Yes, locally, all over, every place. Just go all over, locally, and faxes, and calling your friends in other cities, counties, states, all over, and do this nationwide.
Okay.
That's how powerful this can be.
Now, maybe I'm wrong, but doesn't the power to declare war rest with Congress and not the president?
Yes, that's true. But okay. Remember what happened with Iraq. Bush said, we're going to war. Well, what did he do? He bypassed Congress, and no one held him accountable. He should have been charged with treason against the United States. And in federal law, upon conviction, a federal judge has no authority to rule other than death. But he was never held accountable. Nobody reads the Constitution. I brought that up many times. That's one of the reasons that I've been banned from Anthony's group, is because I bring out the Constitution. I held the speakers accountable. And so he starts out with this stuff. Well, you gotta respect the speaker, but the question is, what if the speaker commits a felony? You want to respect him? No. Okay. Same difference. Okay. So he, the only reason he's got a good group there is because he's got Peggy Hall. Other than that, he probably wouldn't be very much at all. But and they're not free over there. It's craziness. Anyway, enough of that. So any other questions or comments?
I'm concerned about my 401k and what's going to happen to it. And
okay, I'm sorry, I'm not here for that.
Okay.
I'm.
Well, you mentioned.
I'm specific, and then I got to leave.
Okay.
So that's all I can talk on. So, are you telling me that I did that good on that good of a job that there's not many questions or comments? Very good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you. See ya.
All right. Thanks a lot, John, for that. I recommend we all take action on that. So at our meeting next, we're going to have Charles Raymond come up and speak to us about spirituality. So it should be an interesting talk. And Charles, thanks for coming. Let me introduce Charles Raymond.
All right. Thanks, Adam. And, you know, we were talking the other day about, you know, who we were going to get for a speaker here today, Adam and I, and excuse me, maybe a couple others. And we thought, you know what, why don't we just speak a couple of our own members? And we bantered around about what we were going to talk about. And originally I thought, well, I'm going to want to talk about local politics in Pasadena, what's going on. And I don't really have enough built up to really go on other than just somewhat I believe. But one thing I can always talk about is spirituality. And at our meeting Thursday, the People's Rights meeting, there was another person there that talked about men being men and women being women. And that's something that is so true that we don't really think about it. And why is that? And what's been happening? I'm holding in my hand this book, The United States of Fear. The speaker, Dr. Mark McDonald, MD, spoke at a meeting previously, and he wrote this book. It's concerned mainly with what happened with society when we were all forced to psychological warfare, essentially, wearing masks, the media, this constant threat of disease, and that we're going to perish just like that if we don't get a vaccine. And one of the main, he devotes a whole chapter to how men have been emasculated through decades and became less than. And, you know, I see it all the time in my dealings with my fellows, and it's just something that I'm seeing is really concerning. It's not that men are any less men on the physical form. It's that inside they have taken a stance of indifference. And I feel that society, and what I mean by that is that they don't stand up. And in the chapter, which is dedicated to this subject in this book, Dr. McDonald talks a lot about, you know, women feeling less safe, and that one woman who was interviewed talked about how she had a new boyfriend, and when he said that he had guns and knew how to use them, even though she doesn't like guns, she was glad to know that he had them because she felt safe. And one of the things that I think we've lost in this nation is our, you know, remember that show that was so groundbreaking back, I don't know, I'm maybe showing my age, so I know some of us here know of it. It was called All in the Family. And, you know, it was about Archie, who was this big bigot, racist, whatever. But the show was about bringing into the forefront a lot of our collective psyche that we didn't talk about things. But if you remember the song, girls were girls and men were men. And, you know, we've gotten away from that. I don't know if it's totally having to do with our food, water, or just all what we're brought up as. But, you know, that's something that we all really need to look at. And why I'm talking about that when I said the topic was spirituality is that all leads into what I'm going to talk about next. And that is God. So I don't want to scare anybody because nobody wants to hear about God. I mean, well, I should back that up. A lot of people don't because they have their conceptions of what God is, and God is this and God is that. Well, I want to tell you this. You can have your own conception of what God is to you. And that's something that we all need right now. We all need a power greater than ourselves to get us through this tragedy that we're going through right now. I can only tell you that one of the reasons why I managed to put one foot in front of the other every day and get out there, even though I don't want to, I'm tired, I don't feel like doing anything, is because I have this power greater than my, I just call it God just for simplicity. But it's not the God that I had when I was growing up. I was raised Catholic and went to Catholic school, and I had this God that said, we are the one true God. And I lived in a neighborhood where there was a lot of Protestants. Everybody had big families. I came from a family of eight. Everybody had big families. And I was told that the Protestant families, they were going to hell. They didn't have the one true God, you know. And so I was like, oh, I was really glad that I was a Catholic, and because we had the one true God, you know. Well, as time went on, I got rid of that God. And for many, many years of my life, all I had was this God that I said, you know, if you get me out of this now, I promise I'll never do it again. And a lot of times it worked. It came through. But then over time, things happen as we get older. And what I started on a quest. I started on a quest for, you know, what was it all about? And why are we here? And, you know, how can all these things go on in this world? How could a God let something like all of this happen? And as I started to look into all kinds of theories and studies and Buddhism and Hinduism and all these isms, I started to learn that, you know, what the masters said way back have all been true throughout millennium, is that man creates all these problems. It's not God. We're not being punished by any God. We're creating these problems ourselves through our lack of indifference and through our infringements that we do upon others. We may not realize it, but oftentimes we are doing things that cause harm to others. So one time this great saint, she lived here in Los Angeles. She gave a talk, and the topic was going to be how to change others. And boy, oh boy, wouldn't you believe it? The room was packed. Everybody wanted to know how they could change others. And so the gist of the talk was, how to change others is to change ourselves. And by changing ourselves, we will ultimately be an example. And so over time, I have found that, you know, that works. And I'm a process in a work in progress, I mean. And that God that I had as a little boy morphed into the God that I was indifferent to. To today is now this God that I take with me every day, and that gives me the power that I need to do to shoot up and show up and to take on what's happening in our world today. And because I know that I'm backed by this, there is nothing in front of me, there is no problem in front of me that the God behind me can't handle, you know, so I don't have to be afraid. And that is where, you know, we get this fear, which is false evidence appearing real, or, excuse my language, fuck everything and run. You know, today I was at my temple, which is mainly, it's a non-denominational, it centers on meditation. And we had a church meeting today, and I'm still baffled by how many people are wearing masks. And it just blows me away. Individuals, it's individual choice. Nobody's forced to wear a mask there, but people choose to do so. And I just can't stop and think, fear. You know, here we are, we're outside, we're having an event outside at my church. Today was the last Sunday of the month, so it was fellowship, where we have snacks and things. And in the heat of a 90 degree weather, people wearing masks, and then inside still continuing to do so, and it just fear, you know. But I know that I can't go up really and say anything to any of them, because I'll just create a controversy, and I don't want that. My best example is to just go maskless and just to show that there's nothing to be afraid of. So I can't change them, but I can change myself. And that I've found this, I choose to call it God just because it keeps it simple. Because, you know, there really is no God. We are all gods. And that's the simple matter of the fact. We are all a spark of the divine. So let me tell you something. There is another fellowship I'm a member of. And they have atheist and agnostic meetings. And you don't want to know what they talk about there? The number one topic every time at these meetings is God. So we have these atheists and agnostics that get together. And the main topic of their is God. So because everybody knows that deep down inside, every man, woman, and child is the fundamental concept of a power greater than ourselves, that we couldn't function or operate without this inherent power within us. We have been endowed the highest animal on this planet, because we have been given a spark of that divine, which is simply just consciousness. Nothing exists without consciousness, and that's all it is, just different levels of consciousness. We've been given a spark of that divine consciousness called soul. We are under great tests right now on this planet. And I hope you can all find the power within you, the strength that you need. And you are already showing that you have it, because you're here at this meeting today, that you can start to manifest to these bureaucrats and these tyrants this power greater than yourself that's within you, and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to tolerate that, because I am free and I have my rights. It says on our card, and I'll end with this, that we have our rights, and I'm just going to pull out the card because I want you all to... We got new ones coming, and oops, wrong wallet. I got my card wallet here because I have several things going on. Yeah, right, little Gucci. But anyway, you know, we talk about our rights. We got to claim, use, and defend. And that is what it's all about. We need to claim our rights, because they're inherent, they're inalienable, and they're given to us by a power greater than ourselves, which I choose to call God. And we have to use those rights, as is being spoken about at this meeting many times. We have to go about and say, you're denying me my inherent rights, and then defend those for ourselves and others. And that's, I just wanted to try to bring that home a little bit here today. You know, why we are here. It is to do those three things. Claim, use, and defend. And that's the end of my talk. And thank you all for listening to me. Thanks.
Charles, it's interesting that you chose this topic today. Because spirituality is one of the things I've been struggling with the most lately. To be honest, I'm angry at God. Not because of the reasons. Excuse me. Just a second. It's funny. I can't talk now. No. Not because of the reasons most people might think, but it has to do with, why would he allow so much suffering and so many horrible things to happen? And what you said earlier resonated with me, that we created that, not God. So how have you been able to get past that point in your life, if you wouldn't mind just talking about that?
Right, thanks. Good question. So, naturally, you know, I was angry at God, too, for the longest time. You know, how could God let things happen, even in my life, tragedies that I've had and things like that. Damn you. But over time, I came to realize that I created all my own shortcomings and all my own tragedies and all that, they were all created by myself. And so when I came to that realization, I realized that, you know, it's so I'm going to have to change my behavior. You know, if we want to change others, we got to change ourselves. So I've come to rectify that what's going on the planet is not just a result of what I've done, but it's a collective result of what all of us have done. And in some instances, it's a collective result of what certain groups are doing, groups that are purposely trying to affect the weather, trying to affect our air. So again, that's man. And when I say the word man, I mean man and women. When we talk about that and the point of God, it's, you know, we're not, we're all one light. So there isn't any, you know, when I say men, I'm not being negative towards women at all. It's just that that's what it is in writing. And so these groups have done these things, and, you know, and we, how we get to affect that change is by changing ourselves and working towards changing what's happening. I think I answered your question. I don't know if I did or not, but thanks. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yeah, going off of what Adam and you said, you know, about being angry at God, and I've, you know, especially since the pandemic, I've asked why would he allow these things, but, you know, the, you know, most of us know that saying, evil exists when good people do nothing. You know, we've all of us have been, had it too good and apathetic, you know, so we just let it happen. And you know, God gave us free will, freedom to let it happen. And it's horrific what's going on all around the world, but you know, it to a certain extent, yeah, we're all responsible for that. And yeah, it's, there's a lot of lies behind lies, you know. Now the real, what I've been noticing is, yeah, within the freedom movement and the whole consciousness movement now, they're saying, okay, well, there's the light in all of us, and this whole thing, there's the left-hand path and the right-hand path. You know, the left-hand path, that's of the devil, of the pentagram, the flesh, you know, but then the right-hand path, there's the goodness, the love, the light in all of us, the divine spark. But, you know, throughout the years, I've been, my opinion is, yeah, that's the path of the devil as well. You know, devil comes as the angel of light. You know, he wants, once we begin to wake up from of what so much evil that's in the world, say, all right, what are we going to do about it? The devil's right there as well to manipulate us. And, oh, yeah, it is a horrific place. And you have to bring out the divine spark in all of us, you know. And that's the lie of the devil as well, which I see what's going on with a lot of the consciousness movement. And I think that's the next lie, the deception, as more of these things get, more the conspiracies or whatever you want to call it, the agenda of the elite as it begins to unfold. I think the next step of the next lie that they're going to bring out is, oh yes, we can all rise up as humans, as these divine beings, to take care of these problems. And but that is a lie of the devil as well. And I think one group that's going to do it, the international organization, is going to be the United Nations, because they're already bringing in the consciousness, Christ consciousness movement, that they're going to bring in. I think I foresee that in the coming years, I think. And I think we need to be aware of that. So, yeah.
Right. Well, thank you. You know, consciousness, or the consciousness movement, as you call it, has actually been going on for a millennium. And right, exactly. And so
the first lie of the devil, that ye shall, you shall be as gods. That's the first lie of the devil.
Right. You know, when there's, like you said, there is one path, this path, and they're both leading to the same. So God had to create a darkness, a devil, in order to create the delusion of Maya, which is what we're under. This is all Maya. And, you know, so that has been created to, we have to get through that to get back to that one God, to our own, to
well,
our own
Jesus
selves.
Jesus says, narrow, the wide is the path to destruction, you know? The narrow is the path to eternal life, which is through Jesus Christ. No, he's the only way. The right-hand path, left-hand path, love, hate, all that, it's both the work of the devil. That's how that's how he manipulates us, you know what I mean? That's what I believe. And, God creating the devil, I mean, I don't know what went on, obviously, but, I mean, the devil had the choice as well, you know? He was like the archangel. He was one of the most beautiful creatures, angels that God created.
Mm-hmm.
But then he chose to rebel against God as well, you know? So, kind of just like us, you know, we have that choice as well. But since he saw God more fully than we do, it's a little more serious for him.
Yes, so there's a lot of, I see what you're saying, and I've also witnessing that all of a sudden now there's this trying to discredit things like meditation and things like that. But it's always been there, you know, and when Jesus Christ was talking about, he was talking about Christ consciousness. It's just different levels of consciousness. That's all it is.
No, he was never talking about Christ's consciousness. He wasn't. That's Gnosticism. It's the knowledge, the truth of knowledge. You say the ascension. You can become greater than what is really you. That was just. To each their own, because that's the choice that we were given. So.
Right. Thank you. Question.
Yeah, well, more of a kind of a comment on your statement about God being out of the equation when it comes to the evil of men and the things that we suffer. And that I think a lot of people fail to recognize that a lot of these bad things that happen are opportunities for us. To either grow or to improve our surroundings or to improve the lives of others. And a lot of what's happened over this last couple of years has really been, in many ways, a blessing. As bad as it may seem, you look at things like, what happened with shutting the schools down, right? And all the kids going home and learning from home. Well, this gave parents an opportunity for the first time to see the curriculum that was being taught to their children, and in turn it sparked them to maybe do more homeschooling or to get involved in the school board meetings and so forth. So again, like I said, it's more just of a comment on the allowance of evil in this earth, on this earth by God. You know, and to not step in, and of course these things are created by men. So it's only when we kind of step back and look at the big picture that we can kind of see that. I just maybe want to get your thoughts on that.
On what exactly? I mean,
well, just your thoughts on that being, you know, a part of the plan, a part of.
Oh yeah, God, of course, exactly, God's a part plan. Of the plan. Right, exactly. Yes, it is. It's part of the greater plan to bring everybody back, because we all got to go back, if you will, you know, to that God. So right, this was all, it's all part of it to, and it is, it's a, so this is not the first time this planet has gone through something like this. It's in cycles, and it's happened before. That's why we know of these ancient civilizations that were really great, and then all of a sudden they're gone. And same will happen with this one. You know, we're rising, and we are in a very time right now that is, because we are going from a dark age into a higher age, and that's exactly where we're heading. And so yes, the powers that be are going to try to twist that right now, and they're going to start using the terms that they know to be true, and they're going to try to start giving them their own meanings now, like has been said by the other speaker. They're going to try to start to twist the truth, but the truth is set. There's no changing that. The great saints have said it and spoke it, like the Saint Jesus Christ. They've all said the great truths, even going back into India and before. And for periods of time, they're kept locked up and kept away from man because man's not able to handle them. Now they're coming back out again because we all evolve, you know. This is not our first time here at the rodeo, so we're all evolving. And this whole planet is evolving. And this period that we're going through right now is the huge test to get through. And, you know, there's no guarantee. There's some saying that we won. You know, there's no guarantee that we have. But I pray that we do can prevail. And, yes, everything is designed to bring us back to God. That.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just to add on to about previous civilizations, it's interesting because, like, in the Bible, they talk about the civilization before the Great Flood. And when Jesus' disciples asked him, what would be the signs of the last days? And he said, it would be like the days of Noah. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, I look at, like, I watch podcasts about the pyramids and Great Pyramids of Egypt. I mean, they weren't tombs, you know. There's so much of the history that's been erased, you know, from us. And I think, yeah, I think we're seeing, like you said, like cycles of what's to come. And also, Jesus also said, many false prophets will come in the last days, mm-hmm. and they will claim to be Christ, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And that's what's happening right now with people that, you know, there's the world Christ, you know, that's going to come, the Christ movement, Christ consciousness movement. And he says that the devil will have craft to prosper, meaning there's going to be a lot of, like, miracles, that there will be great miracles that people will be performing. And that will be also the work of the devil. That's the signs of the last days. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Thanks. All right.
Okay, Charles.
Is that it?
I've got one last question for you.
Okay.
And, it is, do you feel that what's happening today in regards to all the bad stuff that's going on, do you feel that there's a diabolical part to that or something more behind it than just men?
Well, that's, I don't, can't really speak to that. I'm not sure. And possibly, yes. I mean, I don't have enough information personally to really be able to answer that. But it seems like there is some kind of maybe entity that is behind what's going on right now. But of course, then again, we all know what that is. You know, is that Satan? And, you know, controlling men. So that I don't know. It's a good spot. It's a good study, so it's something I really can't answer because I don't know the answer to it. So you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody. Thanks.
So thank you, Charles. Why don't we all take just a 5-minute break so Brendan can relax for a second. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have another excellent speaker for you today, Mr. Nick Yaya. And I'm not sure exactly what Nick's going to be talking about today, so let's let him break the news to you. Introducing Nick Yaya.
Thank you, Adam. And I want to thank Kenny for setting up this awesome audio system, letting us use his equipment. So thanks, Ken. And I also want to thank this gentleman right here. I don't know your name, sir, but those taquitos were phenomenal. What's your name?
Franco.
Thank you so much. Those are, whew, hit the spot. Same with that guacamole. Did you make the guacamole too? Dude, you got to open a restaurant. Seriously. okay, so, well, what I'm going to talk about today is similar to what I talked about last time I was here. I'm talking about victories. We're talking about wins that we've had. And I had one just the other day. Those of you who were present at the People's Rights meeting on Thursday might recall I briefly talked about going down to City Hall and serving a subpoena to the LAPD, and my trepidation at doing so because of my previous experience, our previous experience of trying to enter City Hall and being rebuffed by LAPD for not having a vaccine passport, right? Proof of vaccination. Clear First Amendment violation, right? So I reached out to an organization called Pacific Justice Institute and made my case. I also stated that I had a religious aversion to taking the vaccine for, in my opinion, it's tantamount to suicide, asking somebody to kill themselves. And in many religions, that's frowned upon, including Christianity. And so they got back to me. And they said, well, hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you draft an affidavit saying that you have you're stating your religious reasons why, and asking for them to recognize your exemption. So I did that, and I went down to City Hall. Actually, I got that notarized at AAA for free. If you're a AAA member, you can do that. You should know that. And I went down to City Hall. And I'll tell you what, I did not sleep well the night before. I was tossing and turning all night with anxiety over having to go do this. And, man, I walked into City Hall and I recorded it. It's about 5 minutes, my little interaction there. Walked up to the front. Guy says, you know, empty your pockets, put your things on the belt. Hey, do you have a proof of vaccination? No. Okay. I said, I'm here to serve a subpoena. And he says, well, I can call them and they can come down. And you can take care of it that way. I said, fine. Another officer walked over and asked me, he said, okay, you know, talk to this guy. He'll call him down for you. And he says, hey, you don't have a vaccine? I said, no. I said, I do have an affidavit stating my position for, you know, religious exemption. I'm wondering if you would honor that. And he said, sure, we will. So I was like, wow, okay, win number one. Then he says, do you have a mask? And I said, no, I don't have a mask. He says, well, we can provide one for you. I said, well, actually, I'd rather not. I said, I also have a letter from my doctor stating that I have a medical condition which precludes me from wearing a mask. And he laughed, and he's like, man, I said, look, I said, officer, I don't mean to be so difficult. I'm very, you know, I apologize. I don't mean to be difficult with you. He says, no, 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 that's all right. He goes, just put your stuff on the conveyor belt and we'll get you a little name tag and you can go upstairs and take care of your business. That's a win. That is a huge win. So I can't believe it because we were there a couple weeks ago. They wouldn't let us in without masks. They wouldn't let us in without vaccine, you know, proof of vaccination. So really, this is, I mean, really great. A little funny little side note. When I get up to the 19th floor and there's a clerk behind the glass, not wearing a mask, and they have a nice little conversation with her, and she goes to check on something. She comes back. She's wearing a mask. And in the interest of just getting business taken care of, I didn't call her on it, but I did want to ask her. I did want her to say, what prompted you to put on a mask? You know? What are you afraid of? Really is what I really want to ask these folks. You know, I visited a doctor's office for an issue with my eye. I visited an ophthalmologist and I let them know up front, hey, I can't, you know, wear a mask. And they're like, oh, okay. I said, I got this letter from my doctor. And I got there and they took a copy of it, put it in my file. Everything was cool. I had to wait in the hallway because they were scared that I might, you know, infect somebody with this deadly disease, right? So I waited in the hallway. They called me in, sat down with the doctor's physician's assistant. She, you know, asked me some questions, and she was okay with me not wearing a mask. It was cool. She was wearing hers. And the doctor shows up. He's like, whoa. You know, like all of a sudden he encountered the plague. And I'm just like, doctor, look. I said, you as a medical professional should know better. You should know that that mask doesn't do anything to protect you, doesn't stop anything from me infecting you with anything. He's like, oh, well, nurse, can we get one of the N95 masks? And I said, doc, look, can we just get on with this? you know, you see, you can see me, and I can be out of your way. He's like, look, he goes, I can't see you unless you wear a mask. And I was in a desperate position. I had something in my eye, underneath my eyelid, and it had been bugging me for several days. And so I said, all right, you know what? Fine. I'll put this mask on, but I'm going to warn you that if for some reason I start experiencing respiratory distress as a result of wearing it, I'm going to take it off. And he's like, okay, all right. So I'm fine. So put the mask on. He pulls up the little machine with the light in it, you know, and you rest your chin on the thing. It's got a plastic barrier. And he's wearing his mask. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, this is insane. These people are insane. And only after I left did I really stop to think. I wanted to ask him, what is it that you're afraid of? What are you so terrified of? We have therapeutics. You've got your vaccine. They're saying it's not even as bad as the flu. What are you afraid of? That's what we need to ask these people, because that's what it is. Like you said, Kenny, it's fear. It's fear that is motivating these people. It's fear that are making these people continue to wear these masks, like this freaking guy over here playing volleyball. It's fear. And one of the ways to overcome fear is with information. All right? It's something I learned, and I won't go into too much detail over this, but we can provide these people with information to allay that fear. Like I said, I could have said, hey, look, doc, there are therapeutics now. There are medicines. You're not going to die, okay? You seem to be a healthy human being. You seem to be a healthy adult. I'm pretty sure you'll get over it, as most people did. So I just want to end with not that, because that's kind of I had to negotiate. I had to give a little so I could get something in return in a bad situation, against my better wishes of not wanting to wear a mask. I had to. And perhaps that's something that some of us should also consider, not wearing a mask, but giving a little, you know, and trying to understand, try to use some empathy with these people and treat them gently instead of attacking them for being stupid. let's educate them, and let's help them get out of that state of fear. And we're going to continue to fight. We're not going to win all of them, but if we give up and stop, we're not going to win any of them. So that's it, folks. Keep fighting. Keep fighting the good fight. Don't let them tell you what to do. Don't take the shot. Don't wear the mask. And give them hell. Thank you. Yeah. Come up to the mic.
Come on up to the mic. Nick, just a quick point. Our lovely Jane makes these fantastic information brochures you can pass out to people about how unhealthy masks are. Excellent. I'm going to give you one right now.
Thank you, Jane. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Jeffrey, and I was just walking by and I heard you talking about, I think, mandates.
Yeah.
And then I heard you say something about you went to AAA and you had them notarized that you got a religious exemption approved.
Yeah, it's basically an affidavit stating my position on the vaccine. It says that, you know, my religion forbids me to do anything that would bring harm to myself or you know, in what I put is that the vaccine is known to injure and kill people, and I said this is tantamount to asking me to commit suicide, which is against my religion. And so I had it. You don't necessarily need to get it notarized, but I just chose to go that extra step to kind of give it legitimacy, right? And sometimes, you know, it helps.
Okay.
So, you can draft, you know, your own.
Well, actually, I submitted a religious exemption to my employer,
uh-huh.
And they haven't gotten back to me. Now it's been like a year and a half. But okay. One of my fellow workers, they denied him, uh-huh. But he's still working. He's been working for probably now at least 4 months.
Okay.
And so he submitted whatever the whatever
form
after you're denied your
appeal.
Yes. So
okay,
but I heard you talking, so I thought I would come up and listen to you.
Well, thank you. You know, we're
yes,
yeah. Our group here is this is People's Rights, and we're an organization that was founded. Basically, it's a self-organizing group of people in the community who stand up and defend each other's rights. And so, in the case that I was kind of talking about with City Hall, one of our members actually went down to the library and was refused entry because she wasn't wearing a mask. And so we went down as a group and stood up. And stood up. Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah. So that's what we do. That's what we do is People's Rights. And
I'm going to try that. I'm going to go to AAA and I'm going to submit my, show that my religious rights or whatever and
yeah.
that I already submitted and what I believe, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Get it notarized. And how, you know, I don't understand how they can deny these religious exemptions. Who are they to tell you what your faith is, what your beliefs are?
Exactly.
It baffles me. It really does. So, good for you. I'm glad you're fighting the good fight, sir. Well, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
Yeah, just a side note, you're welcome to stay and attend our meetings anytime you want. We meet every Sunday. Normally, we'll be under those pavilions up there. Sunday at 3 o'clock. Yeah, well, there wasn't one available this week, so we ended up here, but we'll be here every week. So if you want to come talk to us. Outstanding.
All right. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? You want to berate me publicly? I don't care.
Yeah.
What? I get it on.
Yeah, about the fear factor part of the vaccines and the masks. And Dennis's wife, Janie, she brought up an interesting point. She said that it's no longer really about medical, health safety, really, the masks. It's more of a symbolic thing. Like, it's you're stating your allegiance to a certain ideology. Like, why wearing the mask? Yeah, there might not be a COVID, but I am with this group of people, you know, and with the fist and everything. This political science, you know, trust the science, that type of crowd that, you know, they have been conditioned to think that that's the right way. And, oh, don't trust those, you know, those crazy MAGA people. You know, it's a politicized statement almost. No. And so, I mean, yeah, there might be some fear of a virus, but... Yeah, she was saying, I thought that was a very interesting point. It's more of a statement, like, I here's my identity now.
And right.
I am with these people. It's
right.
It's a statement.
And there are a lot of people who are afraid of stepping out from the crowd and you know, they want to fit in. They don't want to rock the boat, so to speak. And so they go along with it, even in the face of mounting scientific evidence that shows that it's contrary to what is actually healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also with the City Hall thing, I talked to Taji from Nicole Pearson's. She was assistant for Nicole Pearson, and she mentioned a group called Liberty Council to build a case against the City Hall.
Yeah, we should.
And we were talking. I was talking to her and a couple other people. They said, "Yeah, you can absolutely make a case." And I think our timing that day when we went in was perfect because the Board of Supervisors, they were having a meeting upstairs. They won't let us in, so that's a violation of our First Amendment rights. So we can use that against them as well.
Yeah, straight up.
So Liberty Council and I emailed them. Told them about our situation, and so I'm waiting for their response. Because they said that they're kind of backlogged with a lot of cases. So,
That's we do have to keep up the pressure, legal pressure, on these on the government specifically. You know, businesses. That's a different animal, and that's a different argument. But when it comes down to your First Amendment right to be able to redress your grievances with your government, there's nothing that's more black and white than them violating it by not allowing us entry without showing proof of vaccination. So I think that's an open and shut case, and one that we would easily win in any court, regardless of bias by the jury or the judge. Nobody can deny that. So keep up that fight for sure, and let me know how that goes. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nick Yaya, for that fiery talk. appreciate it. So we have Ira here who wants to give us a little talk himself. His name is Ira Bershatsky, and I'm inviting him up to the mic right now. Go ahead, Ira.
Thank you, Adam. So with what Nick is saying, with the walls are starting to come down. My son just started at a UC, a University of California school, and so he's not turning 18 till next week. So, of course, the vaccine thing came up, and he said, all right, Dad, look, you know, I'll do the Novavax, you know, when I'm 18, because that was before it was approved. So I said, what about the religious exemption? He goes, Dad, look, I'm not religious. I don't want to do that. So I called up the dean at the school, and I said, you know, how many religious exemptions actually get approved? He said, we approve about 98, 99% of them. And then we through friends of a friend, we found a medical doctor who was going to sign a medical exemption. And we went down, we saw them. It was actually a nurse practitioner. And on it, I don't know exactly what she put. I think she put something like, we'll have an adverse event, something like that. So nothing like itemizing what all the medical issues were, nothing. It's just, he might have an adverse event. So we sent it in through their portal on Sunday night. By Monday afternoon, it was approved. I mean, within 24 hours. So I think the walls are coming down, and that's, you know, a good example, because the school, especially the UC system, was very, you know, adamant about it all. So we'll see. I wanted to share that with everyone.
Thank you, Ira. I appreciate that. So if anyone else would like to say anything, we can do that now, or I can tell you a little bit about the media. Any takers on stepping up to the mic? Okay. So one of my areas of expertise is I'm a media critic, and I've done a few video reports about the media and how dishonest they are. And one of those is called Big Media and the Lies They Tell. And I'll post that up on the newsroom for you. But basically what I'm here to tell you today is that the Matrix is real. Has anybody seen The Matrix in this crowd? The movie The Matrix? Never heard of it. I find that hard to believe. But if you look a little deeper into The Matrix film, what you see is that basically it's an analogy of our world we live in today. So in this world, the machines have created a false reality for people to live in a virtual false reality. And the question we should all ask is, why did the machines bother to create a false reality? Why didn't they just directly enslave the humans, since they were much more powerful? So the answer to that is that the humans would have fought back. And so they couldn't achieve success without the Matrix. And the Matrix is a false reality they pulled over people's eyes to get them to comply with being batteries for the Machine City. So that's essentially what the blueprint is for the bad guys at the top of our society. They want us to be the batteries that supply their agenda. They're taking all our money, virtually all of it. If you add up all the taxes and all the fees and all the tolls and everything that they're imposing on us, we have almost nothing left for ourselves. So they're essentially squeezing every last drop of water and energy that we have, and they're using it for their own purposes, just like the machines in the Matrix. So the media basically takes on the role of the architect of the Matrix. So our media, I'm sure all of you know, because you're all awakened people, that the media lies all the time. But do you know what their true agenda is? lot of people are confused. They think the media is trying to control how we think. And the media is not trying to control how we think. What the media wants to do is control what we think about. Think about that for a second. They want to control what we think about so that when they're doing something nefarious, we're thinking about something else. Perfect example of that was the O.J. Simpson trial. If you look at the O.J. Simpson trial and you go back and find out what the government was up to during that trial and during the high-speed chase, you'll find out they were up to some very, very dark, bad things. And so they used the whole distraction of the O.J. Simpson trial to take everybody's mind off of what they were doing and focus it on something that doesn't matter to most people. So that's what the media does. They're redirecting our attention like a magician, like an illusionist. They're misdirecting us onto the wrong things. That's what they specialize in. And I want to tell you a little quote. This is from a former director of the CIA, and this is verbatim what he said. "We will know our campaign of disinformation is complete when everything the American people believe is wrong." That's a director of the CIA saying that. So his plan, obviously, is to have us so confused and so misled that nothing we know is true. So, what kind of a world are we really living in here? So, flowing from that kind of ideology, the CIA initiated a program. Most of you are probably familiar with it, but if you're not, I encourage you to look it up. It's called Operation Mockingbird. And Operation Mockingbird was the CIA's plan to not only infiltrate the media, but take it over completely, rule it from within. And that's what they've done. Another CIA director came along and said that basically there is no major media that we don't control. He just admitted it openly. So they're telling you what the media is. The media is the matrix. It's the veil they're trying to pull over your eyes to get you distracted from looking at the important things and the things that we really should be paying attention to. So I would like to recommend everybody take a look at the videos on my channel. My channel is called Unspun News, and you spell news with a Z. I'll post the links in the newsroom for you. But I've got two reports there of particular interest if you're interested in the media. One is called Real-Time Problems with Bill Maher. And we talk about Bill Maher and his propaganda surrounding 9/11. And then I have another report, which I'm really proud of. It's called Big Media and the Lies They Tell. And in that report, I talk about, there was a reporter, he's still around, I think, his name is Brian Ross, and he promoted the idea before before Desert Storm, the war in Iraq, he promoted the idea that Saddam Hussein was behind the anthrax attacks that were taking place at that time. So he was one of the people trying to convince everybody to go to war with Iraq. Well, it turns out that the anthrax was the Ames strain of anthrax, and it came from Fort Detrick, Maryland, which is our military biolab. So the anthrax came from us, from our military. So it didn't come from Saddam Hussein. But he used it anyway to invert reality and get people to support the war in Iraq. So these mind manipulators in the press are possibly our most dangerous adversary because they know what they're doing. They're not incompetent, and it's not a mistake. A lot of people think that they're just, oh, the government's making mistakes. Oh, the media is just incompetent. They're making mistakes. No, they're not. If you think of Nancy Pelosi as being a bungling fool, okay, you're making the mistake because you're confusing her actual agenda from what she says her agenda is. So what she says is that she's representing us. But in reality, what she's doing is trying to shove money in her own pockets as fast as she possibly can and get us to give it to her. That's what the government's really doing, is they're stealing everything they can from us. They're stealing our life energy. They're like vampires. So Nancy Pelosi, if you look at her true agenda, she's actually very intelligent and very smart, and she's very successful at doing that. She's got millions and millions and more coming all the time because she's using her position to enrich herself. She doesn't care about us. So it's a mistake when you think the media is just a bunch of bungling fools and they're just not getting the story right. No, that's not true. They're getting the story exactly right according to their true agenda. So within the industry, within the media industry, they have some terminology that's specific to their industry. And one of the things they talk about is what constitutes content on their programs and what constitutes fill. So fill, you might think, is the commercials. And the content is the programs on television. But it's not. They consider the commercials the content and the shows and the programs the fill. So that's how they think. So the shows are just there to get you to watch the content, which is their advertisement. And if you notice, a lot of their advertisements are for pharmaceuticals. So why do you think there are so many commercials for pharmaceuticals? Because these have to be prescribed by a doctor. So you can't just go to the pharmacy and buy these drugs that they're advertising. So why are they advertising these drugs? Because the doctor has to write the prescription. So you can't go out and get them. So why are they talking to us? Why aren't they just talking only to the doctors? Well, if you think about it for a second, there's a reason they're doing all those advertisements. They're paying off the media to be on their side. That's what they're actually doing with that money. They're just shoveling money to the media so the media doesn't call them out, call them on the carpet for the crimes they're committing. So that's how it really works. So I encourage everybody to embrace the alternative media in every way possible and shut off your television completely, because if they're not lying, they're trying to distract you from something. About the only thing they'll tell you the truth on the news is what the weather's going to be, they think, and what the sports scores were. They're truthful about that because they can't lie about that. There's too many witnesses. If you can, support alternative media like Nick Yahya, his podcast. Go to his podcast, go to his page. It's listed there on in the newsroom under our Sunday meeting. You can just scroll down, find Nick's podcast. Support his podcast. Support Brendan's video channel. He's got some excellent videos up there. There's lots of independent media people I can recommend to you. And you can get real news and real truth from the alternative media if you know where to look. So just recognize that the media is possibly our greatest enemy. And keep that in mind. But that's all I have to say, folks. Thanks.
Yeah, I have. Going off of that, yeah, they say that we, the people, are supposed to be the press. You know, we should be doing flyers, neighborhood pamphlets, and local news and stuff like that, which I think is we need to do more of. And also with the media creating distractions, I'm thinking one of it could be the whole Mar-a-Lago raid. Everyone was talking about that.
Absolutely.
But what happened during the Mar-a-Lago raid?
Well, personally, I would not listen to anything at all that the mainstream media said.
But during the Mar-a-Lago raid, they had the IRS being weaponized. You know, that happened right around that time. And yeah, people talked about it, but I think it was a lot bigger, serious topic than the Mar-a-Lago raid.
Yeah.
But you know, Trump supporters were going to be like, oh, they're raiding Trump. Oh, man, that's so messed up.
Yeah, that's exactly how they do it.
If that never happened, our attention will be going to the IRS being weaponized.
Right.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a great observation. They hired something like 70,000 new employees for the IRS. 87,000, yeah, I stand corrected.
So I just have a comment and a question. So my comment is to your point. I saw someone the other day post something about when they were investigating Hillary for Benghazi, there was the school shooting at Sandy Hook. And then when they are investigating Hillary for the emails, there was another school shooting or some kind of mass shooting event. So there was a third thing that coincided with something with Hillary and an event to distract from the attention being on her. And it's almost like they work in collusion, or they collude with the media to create these events as a distraction away from, to distract away from the deeds that their evil deeds that they're engaged in. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, that reminds me of something that I wanted to say today. The media always presents a distorted or almost inverted picture of what's really going on. So, for example, whenever the media talks about the Bundy Ranch, they call it a standoff. I call it a fight for their rights. But whenever they talk about the Bundy Ranch standoff or the occupation of the refuge in Oregon, the media, without fail, they always follow the same script. They always say it was an armed standoff. They make a point of always saying and repeating they were armed. Oh my God, they were armed. Imagine that. Americans that own guns. Oh my God. Well, they make a big point of that because they know that most people will just read the headlines. And only the headlines. Most people won't read the articles. So the headline is more important to them than the article itself. Sometimes the article itself doesn't even correlate to the headline. They just want the headline out there. And if you want to do an experiment, I did this once before. Any of you can pick up your phone, you can go to Google, and you can type in any 3-digit number and say new cases after that. You type in any 3-digit number, and it even works with a lot of 4-digit numbers. So you type in 938 new cases. And all of a sudden, you'll get hundreds and hundreds of articles talking about 938 new cases of COVID reported. Whatever number you use, any number. So what they've got is they've got bot programs, automatic programs, that are writing these articles. And they write hundreds and maybe thousands of them a day. And they just put them out there so that they are the things that pop up when you do a search. That's why you shouldn't use Google. Don't use Google, because they are part of this in a big, big way. But just to give you an example, does anybody remember the Waco incident? Okay. Do you remember how they portrayed David Koresh and his Branch Davidians? They portrayed them as religious fanatics. And that's what they talked about. And they talked about how they had illegal weapons. And David Koresh was a madman, and they accused him of being a pedophile and all kinds of things. Well, the truth is, they had no illegal weapons at all. The ATF, even in the rubble after the inferno, found no illegal weapons at all. So the whole basis for the raid in the first place was wrong. But one of the things that came out subsequent to Waco was a documentary put out by, I don't even know the guy's name, but he has an FBI whistleblower on this documentary, and it's called Waco, A New Revelation. And in that video, you can see there is what's called FLIR video, which is forward-looking infrared. So it's night vision video of what was happening during the inferno at Waco. And what the video shows, and they had an expert on FLIR video come forward and explain all this. The video shows an overhead view of the FBI surrounding the place and the compound on fire. And then it shows the FBI firing their guns at people who were jumping out the windows and coming out the doors trying to escape the inferno. Murdering them. Blatantly murdering them as they tried to escape the fire. So that's the reality that they're trying to conceal. In their version of reality, the FBI are the good guys. But in actual reality, they were murdering those people. So the same thing is true. They invert reality. This is what they specialize in. This is why I think it's a diabolical plan, is they invert reality. Completely the opposite of what it really is. No Child Left Behind, you remember that from Bush? What that really meant was every child will be left behind. Okay? That's what it really means. It's the opposite. So, anyway, sorry, I don't think I answered your question exactly.
I didn't ask the question. Yeah, that was just a statement. But, yeah, you're right. Inverted. That's satanic. That's what worshipers of Satan do. That's what Satan does. He inverts everything. But my question is this. Red pill or blue pill?
Yeah, that's the choice we all have. Are you going to take the red pill or the blue pill? Are you going to be like Cypher in The Matrix? Man, why didn't I take the blue pill? He wanted to be reinserted into The Matrix. We got a lot of people like that.
If you could comment on, when you mention alternative media, mm-hmm. I find the majority of alternative media like a cat following the laser, and all they're doing is commenting on what, quote, mainstream media is talking about, mm-hmm. and putting a different spin on it, that alternative media is catering to people.
Right.
And so I, so I have my own definition, but I'd like to hear your definition of alternative media.
Okay.
And because I think you need to be very, very selective.
Oh, absolutely.
And they are energy vampires. And so one way or the other, they're catching your energy, my energy,
right.
If we even focus on it. And I'm not saying put your head in the ground, you know, in the dirt and not know what's going on. But I think more people need to take time, and I'm going to refer to Daniel Mercury, and know your California Constitution, know mm-hmm. your U.S. Constitution, revisit history. What is real, what isn't real. Read the founding documents.
Absolutely.
The organic documents prior to mm-hmm. the U.S. Constitution, because some people find issues with that. Mm-hmm. You know, like Juris Dictionary, you know, even to know common law and then to know Juris Dictionary. If you go into their courts, to know the procedure of their courts, but right. yet handle, I think we need to focus on another whole paradigm.
You're right.
And not even give them the energy.
Yeah.
And I'm personally, you know, working through this on my own because I'm tired of all of it.
Yeah.
On both sides. Yeah. I'm
you
sick
and
of
me,
it.
You and me both, yeah.
And so I adhere to another position. The term Satan didn't come into reality until Dante's Inferno. The word Satan is not in the Bible, the traditional Bible, the original okay. languages. It's Lucifer, mm-hmm. the light. Anyway, I hold a whole different position, you know, in right. regards to that with my philosophical beliefs. So I'm focusing on mm-hmm. that realm, my spiritual center,
right.
As I seek to hold people accountable
right.
that have invaded my unalienable rights and caused mm-hmm. harm. So if you could speak to what your definition is of
okay.
alternative media, and I just kind of turned my statement into a question. But sure. but I think alternative media is equally controlled.
I think you're right.
And too many people, even valid alternative media, still speak to the narrative of mainstream media.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a really important point because we have to realize that a lot of the quote-unquote alternative media are bought and paid for too. So she's right. There is very, very few people out there that are putting out information that you can trust. And no one is perfect. So you're never going to find any one individual or one outlet that's going to tell you everything that's true. They're going to be wrong about some things. But there are a few people that I think are doing their level best to tell the truth. One of the people, I wouldn't really classify him as media, but I would classify him as more of just a speaker. His name is Mark Passio, and I find his presentations to be really, really powerful and on point. And telling us the truth about what's really going on. In fact, his blog is called "What in the World is Happening." So that's his blog. But I can name a few others, and I'll post a few others that I like to turn to. But as I said, you're never going to find any one person or outlet that is going to tell the whole truth about everything. You're always going to find some areas where you disagree. So what we have to do is just have our discernment and pick the good from the bad. Like, for instance, I like a lot of what David Icke has to say, but a lot of people take exception to some of what he says. Like he talks about actual alien lizard people, and I don't subscribe to that myself, but I'm not going to throw out everything else he says because it's monumental, the amount of work the man's done and the amount of effort he's put into fighting, in my opinion, the bad guys is just incredible. But to your point, Nastasha, I think people like, for instance, Alex Jones. You take Alex Jones, he's a fearmonger. It's unfortunate, but that's all he's really selling is fear. He very, 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 very seldom will he offer any solutions to anything. He'll just talk about the horrible things that are about to happen to us over and over, and every day it'll be a new horrible thing that's about to happen to us. I was bombarded about September the 24th. That we were going to, I've heard everything. I've heard we were going to get hit by a meteor. I've heard it was going to be a massive earthquake. I've heard they were going to shut down the banks. I've heard all kinds of stuff, and it's all fear-based. So you got to be discerning, and there's very few, like Nastasha said, very few that can really be relied on to at least be attempting to tell the truth. Because a lot of the alternative media is compromised.
And to work on remedy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Because regardless of what is taking place, we are fundamentally concerned with our own individual, our soul liberty. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the state of the world, it's the freedom mm-hmm. and the liberty of our soul. And to what comes after.
Right.
And whatever one adheres to in that spiritual realm, there's different perspectives.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately, what does it mean, liberty? In regards to whatever's going on in our world. Yeah. You know, so I think it's important that we focus on ideas. You know, there's like the Law of Nations, Vattel's Law of Nations. There are these great thinkers, you know, mm-hmm. that have gone before us. Plotinus on free will. I mean, there are these great thinkers that have gone through these ideas already, and we mm-hmm. need to visit them and not reinvent the wheel and think we're starting something new. We're
Look
not.
Look at the past.
And they're, you know, these were great people, men and women. Yeah. Who had great minds. So anyway, that's where I think our focus, a lot of our focus needs to be. So,
I agree.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Nastasha.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of fake news out there, obviously, but as far as alternative media, I think we are the alternative media. Like I just said, mentioned before, neighborhood flyering, you know, mm-hmm. Magazines, things like that. Absolutely. The people shouldn't count on people, big, even alternative conspiracy theory or conservative media.
Right.
Some of them are great. Some are okay, you know, but ultimately it's we the people who should have newsletters that in our local communities. It should start from there, from grassroots. That should be the real alternative media.
Yeah.
And
it's huge out there. I don't know if everybody has heard of this, but there's a phenomenon going on YouTube. They call themselves First Amendment auditors. And there are some better than others. But if you go on YouTube and look up First Amendment audit, you're going to find some very interesting activism going on all over the country. There's thousands of these people. And what they do is they go to federal buildings, police stations, post offices, any government facilities, city halls, and they take their camera inside and they see how the government and the officials react to people having a camera in their in the buildings that belong to the people. And invariably, the government doesn't react very well. And many of them have some really powerful videos out there that show you the true state of our society and what's really going on and how the police really behave to towards us. And it's an eye-opening experience, let me just tell you. So do a search for First Amendment auditors. But, Tosh, there's no way to undersell what the individuals like you are doing. I think that is, you're right, that's the real media. We are the real media. Yep.
And as far as David Icke, have you read his earlier books? Like the hidden agenda, I think it was called, what was it called? The Biggest Secret. Have you read that one?
I actually haven't read his books, yeah. But I've seen just about all of his lectures and heard him talk a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it, stuff that he says is true, but his earlier books, a lot of it is based off of the works of Alice Ann Bailey. Have you heard of her?
No.
Okay, she is Alice Ann. Oh, you're right. Okay. Alice Bailey, and she is a disciple of Helena Blavatsky. She was a Russian.
Okay. Yeah. I have heard that
name. She was a Russian Satanist. But anyways, she wrote the volume of books, The Secret Doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the mother of the New Age movement. But basically,
right.
And Alice Ann Bailey, her group, Lucius Trust, who are consultants to the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
They used to be called the Lucifer Publication Company. And because my mother was in the New Age, I was kind of into the whole New Age astrology mm-hmm. as well a long time ago. And her book, Esoteric Astrology, if you read it, if you download the PDF, she talks about root races and how different races are in certain stages of development. And one, like the black race, they're one of the lowest stages of development. And here's my theory. I think the United Nations is basing off of their consultants. They're literally consultants to the UN. I think they're using the spirituality that they're following. That's why they're invading Africa, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
with the whole carbon tax. It was even on the New York Times. They went into Uganda, a group headed by the UN and a banking company, and they said to stop climate change, they're going to plant they wiped out an entire village, thousands of people, to plant mm-hmm. trees there. I think there is a spiritual element to the UN, and they're basing it off, a lot of it is based off of hers and the World Goodwill Society.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I think...
Let me speak to that point real quick.
Yeah. Well, can I just, say, just
sure.
finish it off? Again, going back to David Icke,
mm-hmm.
my point is, yes... There. We talk about controlled opposition, and I think you know the enemy is a lot more cunning than we give him credit. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's a very smart person. You know, as far as they say Lucifer, the new international version, right? They took out the word Lucifer and replaced it with the Morning Star,
mm-hmm.
because in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, I forgot which chapter, but it's because. In the end of the book of Revelation, that's what Jesus proclaims to be. He said, I am the bright morning star. So they replaced Lucifer with the morning star because to make Jesus mm-hmm. as Lucifer. But anyways, I think David Icke, he says a lot of great things, and he's waking a lot of people up. But he,
mm-hmm.
ultimately, I do believe he is controlled opposition. Because the whole lizard people, and then he...
Let me speak to that.
Yeah, his solution is always raising consciousness, and whenever I hear that term, I think there you should look into that, that way of thinking, because that it's been going on for thousands of years. It's one of the oldest lies, the tricks.
Right.
The Nazis even believed, they said,
well,
Nazi Godman, right?
Everyone is a mixed bag. And we've got to recognize this.
I understand. But there are certain things. I mean, no one's right 100% of the time. None of us.
Right.
Alex Jones isn't right. David, no one. But there are certain ways, messages, when people say it on social media. Because David Icke has a huge platform. And that's one thing I have against Alex Jones, because he has David Icke on his show a lot. I guess because he brings in a lot, like a whole new group of people. But whenever they talk about Gnosticism, raising consciousness and stuff like that, which David Icke talks a lot about, spirituality, people need to be a little more aware of those things, I think.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, you have to have discernment, and you have to decide when a person says a whole bunch of things, you have to decide for yourself what of those things you're going to accept and look into or listen to and what you're going to reject.
Yeah, and one more. I'm not saying Alex Jones is 100% right, but I mean, got to give credit where credit's due. When this plandemic happened, you know, before the plandemic happened, yeah. You know, Alex Jones, he had a lot of stuff to say, obviously. But one thing he was talking about was Bill Gates and his vaccines. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, that's pretty far-fetched even for Alex Jones. Bill Gates, that computer guy, he wants to depopulate the planet with vaccines?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Oh, come on, Alex. Even for you, that's a little out there. But now the most ridiculous thing you said, now it's like, whoa.
Yeah,
he's probably right about
out
that.
Turns out to be true.
And
yeah.
I think he woke up a lot of people with just that. People were aware of that from the very beginning of the pandemic, because I was watching InfoWars then,
right,
seeing what he had to say, and I was like, oh, wait. So he's giving out a lot of information that came out.
If I can step in here for a second, here's the point I want to make. It's very easy in our society to think that the enemy is so much more powerful than we are, and they know everything, and they have every angle covered, and they're impossible to beat. And you've got to be really careful about that ideology, because if you imbue your enemy with that much power, every single person
I know that
maybe says something that you don't agree with is controlled opposition. If you think that way, then you can easily rule out every single person on the planet.
Yeah.
And you just got to be careful of that.
Right.
That's all.
No. That wasn't... I'm not saying the enemy is very powerful, but I'm saying we should, instead of depending on alternative media, right, we should be more dependent on communities, like small communities like this.
Right.
Who off, not just with as our real alternative media, it'll be like community zines or pamphlets or something,
sure,
and also action steps. So call right. this number to your local congressman. You know, support right. these businesses, or here's a local. Here yeah. are a few local protests that we can.
In other
go
words,
to.
Exactly so, what we're doing
no,
here today.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
That, yeah. yeah, but no, I'm yeah. basing it off of what you said. So, like, yes, the enemy is powerful, but we're still, with that mindset, we're still dependent on big corporate alternative media, which we should still listen to. Well,
I don't think we are, and I don't think the enemy is powerful.
And I think they're a lot more powerful.
They're good at illusions. They're good at appearing to be powerful.
Right.
They're
but
good
they're,
at appearing to but, be in charge of everything.
Right.
But they're not.
But the way they're being... The way they're in charge of people is manipulating the masses, which they've. Right. I mean, you got to
manipulation, deception.
You got to look at.
Yeah, they're very good at that.
You got to look at how they've controlled people. They did a fantastic job. You know what I mean? So I'm.
Well, I don't know. Did they?
Yes, they did.
I mean, look at us. We're.
Yeah, but we're just a small group.
We didn't fall prey to it.
I know, but I'm talking about.
Well, wait a second, though. Hang on a second. Are we a small group, or are we just not directly connected with thousands and thousands
right.
of like-minded people
but
that are right
being
within a mile of
right.
us?
But being connected is one thing.
That we just haven't met yet.
Right, but being connected is one thing, but taking the next step is another. And
right.
this is, it's not just me saying this. I was at Lighthouse Church a few weeks ago, and I was watching Vaxxed. And after that, they had a few doctors and some other speakers at the platform, and they were saying, "It is amazing the amount of, even when people are networking, connecting, they know all this information. It is so amazing and frustrating the how they don't even tell their friends or family members,
right?
You know, and that's the level of control that they've put on us, even us, you know, even me, even yeah. everyone,
yeah,
and."
Germane to what you're saying, may I?
Just
oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, hang on. Can you go right behind Nastasha?
So going back to what you were saying about, I'll just close it off with going back to what about alternative media. Instead
okay.
of, yes, watching alternative media is great, but taking action and doing our own, becoming our own
exactly.
news outlet as a small grassroots community is very important, because that's how the enemy will
lose. That's exactly what we're
doing. Right. Yep. That's how the enemy will lose his power. And, well, we're not – we've got to become more of a media-type group as well. We're not doing that right now.
Well, I beg to differ. We are doing that.
Right.
And Brendan is integral to that. And
yeah,
so is
I know. But we're not reaching out to other people, like the community. Like, we're within our community. We're doing great.
Okay.
I'm going to put
you on the spot.
We're doing fantastic, but we're not going out
spot,
to public.
Tosh. Okay. Earlier today, I talked about a promotional coordinator position.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to step up to the plate?
No, I'm not saying that. promotional coordinator within our group. I'm talking about going out and reaching other people and talking to them. We
That's
don't
what
do
the
that.
Promotional coordinator position
because
does.
Because we don't do that, because whenever we talk about reaching out to, you know, going to UCLA, going to businesses, they say, oh, well, they're brainwashed anyways. I've heard that so many times.
Well,
that's
we're not that way.
Okay, well, that's – but I hope so. But that was my point with alternative media and the enemy having power against people who know so much. But I think we all can do a lot more.
Yeah, we can, and we will.
And you can speak to this, please. But in a couple of things in relation to what you were saying before in regards to media, back in the 90s when corporations were merging. I would sit in the library, and they only had microfiche then, and I was looking at all these corporations that were merging with each other. Ones were shutting, you know, so it was becoming smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at board of directors that were merging together. What I came to find out was that among those corporations that were merging were publishing houses. So I'm not for the right or the left, conservative or liberal, because those terms constantly change.
Right.
And I had found back then that liberal, quote, liberal publishing houses were purchasing, quote, conservative publishing companies.
Right.
And so it made me start thinking, and this is like back in the 90s, well, what do these terms mean? What do they really stand for, these publishing houses? So there's great caution in those who call themselves conservatives, publishers, in other medias, liberal. So anyway, but that's a part of research and history that I did back then to see who was merging with whom and those board of directors. And that was one convergence that I saw that was
now
mixing
it's,
the plate.
It's down to, I think... six mega corporations control virtually all mainstream media, including publishing houses, magazines, online presence, TV stations, cable stations, all of it.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to bring up in regards to ideas for myself, I'm only speaking for me, I'm not speaking for anyone else, but I cannot be afraid of ideas and ideas that, quote, people tell me are bad or are wrong. And so my life has been walking into avenues that I've sat with real communists, Trotskyites, people who are professors at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
I've sat in meetings. I've read the books. And I didn't read them to, you're wrong. Oh, I'm right. No, I read them to see what they had to say and to understand the ideas. You know, Mao's Red Book. What is it? You know, how many people have read it?
Yeah.
And also, I've sat with true communists, and I've also sat with John Birch Society.
Right.
I used to volunteer at their bookstore in Orange. And again, it was really learning those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with metaphysical ideas. I'm a strong student of H.P.B. Blavatsky and have been among other traditions. Alice Bailey and others, some have stepped away from her teaching.
Yep.
And my main goal initially was, who was H.P.B.?
Yep.
and doing my research and study, and then reading her primary sources and making my decisions. And I just wanted to bring that up because we all don't hold to the same, you know. And I had been very involved with various Christian ideas as well.
Exactly.
But my thing is that we can't be afraid of ideas.
Exactly.
Whether we think we're opposed to them or not, we need to, you know, I like to sit with a book and give them the opportunity to communicate with me.
Right.
The foundation of that book, like Mein Kampf. How many people have read Mein Kampf?
Right.
You know, and so, anyway, so I just kind of wanted to make that clarification where I was coming from because alternative media, I don't even know what that is anymore. To me, it's just a term.
Yeah.
It's a distraction because, like, for my own research, what I had discovered. So you can speak to that.
Okay, well, just quickly, I'll say this. The person I mentioned earlier, Mark Passio, was a former Satanist, and he has left the Church of Satan, and now he's made it his life's work to expose what they're doing, and he's totally transformed himself and changed himself. So you can't judge a person, you shouldn't judge a person at all, first of all. Just listen to what they've got to say, and if you don't agree with it, reject it. If your gut tells you it's right, then maybe listen some more. But yeah, I agree, Nastasha. Yeah. Sir, you had a question?
Yeah, you guys were having an interesting debate. Is this a small movement? Is it a large movement? And I just felt compelled to add my two cents while I was playing Frisbee. I was compelled to come on over here. I don't know if you guys were aware of what was going on in that corner of the park.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so you're aware that Peggy Hall was speaking. You're aware that the Healthy and Free Americans were there.
Yeah.
So there was like 100 to 150 people there.
Yeah.
So we're not alone. I'm in Culver City. Otherwise, I'd probably join you guys because it sounds interesting. My wife is a real fan of Peggy Hall.
This
is why
group
we came
here
out.
Is People's Rights Los Angeles. So you're absolutely welcome. And maybe one of us can give him a card or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, someone did.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So thanks. Just
yeah,
to
you're welcome. We do these meetings every Sunday at 3 o'clock here in the park. Usually we're over there under the pavilions, but they were all full today. So
yeah,
that's why we're here.
That's great. Can you tell us the name of your blog? Yes. COVID19reader.com. Yeah. Did I mention my blog? You were over there. Yeah, so. Yes.
Can you say that one more time?
Thank you. Yeah, COVID.
So we get it on.
COVID19reader.com. So I have a technical background, not biology. I was an electrical engineer. And, you know, it's a pretty good technical background. So I was able to apply it. About 2 months into the pandemic, I kind of, because I knew about 9/11, I knew about JFK, so I freaked out for a week or two, like probably most everybody did. But then after a while, I was like, and I started digging in, and I used my technical background. And so I started posting, just to, you know, initially just to express myself, but it's gotten a pretty good following. And
thank you.
So my last, I'll just share my last post. It's called The COVID Pandemic for Dummies. Because even though my blog tends to be scientific, I like to, you know, it's a serious subject. So I added some humor. So COVID19reader.com. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And as I said, you're welcome. Every week you want to come, we're here.
Thank you.
So, folks, I went a little over time there. So why don't we just take a little break, and then we'll open it up, just totally open mics for anybody that wants to say whatever they want to say. Thanks.